While you're turning there, I had three things in particular on my heart tonight as we were going into the Lord in prayer. And the Lord, as always, did not let me down. I thought, you know, I sure would like to pray for our church. And I just knew Brother John would do that. And I also wanted to pray for the lost, and I just knew Brother Russell would do that. And I wanted to pray for our country, and I just knew Brother Dan would do that. Brethren, I tell you, we have some serious needs. And I'm thankful for men of prayer. If I could name one thing that I think that makes me the most joyful as a pastor, it's that Fellowship Baptist Church, and I'm not in any way minimizing women of prayer and children of prayer. Can I tell you, there's a lot of churches that have women and children of prayer. Fellowship Baptist Church has a strong showing of men of prayer. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that men. They lead their families. They lead their homes. They're the priests. They realize what God has made them. And I just can't tell you how it blesses my heart. It's just a blessing. There's certainly a place for ladies and children. What would we do without them? Right, men? What would we do without them? But I sure am thankful for men that will realize the place that God has given you and step up. And I know your families appreciate that too. It is important. It is the missing link in our world today. It is a great need that men would step up and be men of faith, men of God, men of integrity, men of leadership. And God has sure blessed us here with a good group of solid men of faith. And as your pastor, I just can't tell you how it blesses my heart. It doesn't intimidate me. Some people get intimidated by the leadership of others. It doesn't intimidate me. It makes me want to do a holy dance. It doesn't intimidate me. It blesses my heart. I'm not intimidated by your spirituality. If you're more spiritual than me, then rub off on me. Amen. I'm okay with that. I'm all right with that. Rub off on me. If you can teach me something, teach me. Well, my goodness, no one man is number one in everything. I know a few that think they are. You know? And if you don't believe it, ask them. But I'm just thankful for the good, solid male leadership, men of faith that we have here. Psalm 37. And I appreciate the season of prayer. While we're there, before we get off on this psalm, let me say to the ladies, I've seen men of faith and men of leadership like we have here, and I've seen women that did not want to allow them to exercise their God-given position and place in the home and in the church. Thank you for realizing the place of your husband. And for some of you, your husband, some of you, your father, in the place of the church and the home and society, thank you for realizing that. That's what's needed. Don't fight the leadership of your husband. Get in behind him and support it. Support it. Husbands that lovingly lead, I believe this with all of my heart, will never lack for women who will humbly submit to their leadership. I just believe that. Loving leadership never lacks for a humble, submitted fellowship. So lead lovingly. And ladies, thank you for allowing that to happen. It's what we need. It's missing. It's missing. It's what our children need. Our children need it. By the way, I'm going to read this 37th Psalm, just a portion of it. Are you turned to Psalm 37? Stand to your feet. I'll read just a few verses of Scripture here, and I'm certainly not going to preach the whole psalm. I probably won't even make it past verse number 7 tonight. I want you to look at a section, since we're talking about husbands, wives, and children. I'm going to certainly get to that later in the psalm another night. But I want you to look, and we'll just choose to read this. We'll start in verse 25. We'll read verse 25 and 26, then we'll have a word of prayer. I'll make a few comments there, and then we'll get back to verse number 1. Psalm 37, verse number 25. I have been young, and now am old. Yet Have I not seen the righteous forsaken? Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Father, thank you for the word of God. Teach us, Lord, from your word, how we should respond in these perilous times in which we live. In a time when evildoers have made their way to the forefront, they've come out of the closet in every aspect of life, and they've made their way to the front, to the front pages of our articles and our media, to the front lines of all that is unholy and wicked. And I pray, oh God, that you would help us, help me, help our congregation, help your people to know what it is to follow you and to exercise wisdom in these days in which we live. Equip us for these times, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Before we get to verse number one, I want you to do something. Whether it be tonight when you get home or sometime this week, call your family together. And Dad, read your children this. This is a psalm of David in his mature years, okay? David's grown older. He's learned a lot of things. This is not David who fought Goliath, all right? This is not even the David who called Bathsheba unto him. This is the David that has learned many things and many lessons of life as he has followed the leading of the Lord his God. And he says in this psalm, he said in verse number 25, he said, I've been young. David said, I've seen some pretty miraculous things. You know, there's no way that, I mean, had you gone out and faced Goliath, you couldn't say I've been young without thinking about that. Amen. There's no way you could have. And so David says, you know, I've seen some things, some good, some bad, some miraculous. I've made some good choices. I've made some bad choices. I've been young. He said, now I'm old. So David's matured some. He's learned some things. And there's not a doubt in my mind that David, when he's saying this, he says, you know, if I had some things to do over, I would do them differently. Now, unfortunately, in life, many, many things that we do, well, you got one go at it, right? You have one go at it. And so David said, I've been young. He said, now I'm old, verse 25. He said, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. Now, I want you to gather your family together, and I don't think there is a person here that could not agree with David. You've got a little age on you, all right? You've got a little age on you. You've got some experience under your belt, some far more than others. You need to call your family together, and you need to let those children know, listen, the God that we serve can be trusted. The God that we serve has proven himself over and over again. Just like we sang tonight, we've proven him over and over. He's faithful. I've been young, and I'm old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or received begging bread. God's met every need we've had, children, and God's going to meet your need too. You trust God. Don't you trust your own resources. Don't you put your trust in your strength and your ability. You trust the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Look what he said here. I like what David said. David said, hey, call your children together and tell them that you were once where they were, and one day they'll be where you are. They can count on God. That's what David's saying. You can count on God, brethren. You can count on God. Not only to meet your needs, he'll give you more than enough. Look what he said. I like this. Now, many times this verse is quoted and verse 26 is left out, but I'm not leaving it out. Look what he said in verse 26. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. God will not only give you enough, but he'll give you enough to share with others. How many of you can say amen to that? You know what God's talking about right there. God has not only met every need I have, but God has given me more than enough so I could be a blessing to someone else. And I'm glad God's done that to others who have been a blessing to me. Amen. I'm so thankful that God is good that way. I'm so thankful that God is good that way. So we'll get to this, all right? There's some tremendous scripture in this psalm. I want to go back to verse number 1, and I want to just to share a few thoughts with you, all right? You have to know what's happening here. David is back in the cave, all right? David is back in the cave, and he's been through some difficult times. And he's writing and he's telling us about the faithfulness of God. There's people that are lying on him. There's people that are turning and twisting his words, and they've come against him. And listen, if you haven't faced that, get ready for it. It's coming. It's coming. You're going to be lied on. You're going to be lied on. Your words are going to be turned. You're going to be presented as the enemy. Could be at your workplace, could be at your community, maybe in your own family. When you make your mind up that you're going to serve God, get ready for it. Get ready for it. The devil's aiming both barrels. He's coming after you and your family. Get ready for it. And David said, I want to tell you how to handle it when your enemies rise up and when people come against you and it feels like that you're just being overwhelmed with wickedness and evil, and when people are speaking evil against you. He said, I want to tell you what I would advise you to do. All right? So let's look at it. There's one negative and four positives. He starts with the negative. This is a word that we don't use much today. I like it, though. Fret. I can remember my grandmother using this word quite often. David said this, fret not. Now, I looked the word fret up, and it just means to burn, to get heated up. All right? David said, don't get all riled up about everything that's going on. Now, if you're anything like me, now, there's nothing wrong with righteous indignation. Right? There's some things that ought to move us. There's some things that I'm seeing and hearing today. I mean, it just riles me up. And it ought to stir you up. But now we have to be careful because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, be angry and sin not. See, if I'm not careful, I'll get angry and I'll let my anger get the best of me. And I'll speak before I think, before I pray. And I'll say something that'll do greater harm than good. Now, I'm capable of that. How about you? And so we have to be careful, especially in a volatile environment like we're in today. You be careful. I'm not saying don't speak up. There's a time to speak. There's a time to speak, and there's a time to stand up. But now we have to be careful. Let's see what David said. Don't you think David wasn't angry? He had been chased. What had been rightfully given to him by God was trying to be snatched away. I mean, he had been lied on, and he discusses it right here in this psalm. And he said, I want to tell you what to do when the evil rise up. I want to tell you what to do when the wicked come against you. You don't always have to roll up your sleeve and go to battle. He said, there's some things that you have to just let God take care of. Now, I like to take care of some things myself. Amen. I want to help God out. How about you? Yeah. But David said, now, wait a minute, God will let you know when it's time to go. So let's look at what he said. He said, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't you look around you at what's going on, and don't you let what people are saying about you or how people are coming against you, don't you let that get you in a bad way. You keep your focus. You keep your focus. You remember why God left you here. Yes, it is to fight evil, and we'll get to that. But we don't have to fight every battle. God fights our battles. Now, God will tell us, listen, if God didn't want us fighting, he wouldn't have told us to suit up in the whole armor of God. But we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. There's a fight to fight, but we have to understand what it is and where it is and when to fight it. Man. And David said right here, fret not thyself. Fret not. And as I said, fret, it means to burn, to get heated up. So what is David saying? He's saying, calm down. Think things through. Let God work in your life. Don't let all these things that are happening and all these voices that are trying to grab your ear and grab your attention and get in your head, don't you let them influence you to do something that you'll be sorry you've done or say something you'll be sorry you said. Think it through. Pray about it. I had someone to send me a text today, and I got to tell you, when I first got this text, had I responded to them, I'm just 100% sure that they wouldn't have been too happy. Now, I wouldn't have been too happy either because after I'd have done it, I'd have known. I did that on emotion because it sure did stir me up. And so I want to wait before I respond and reply Because I just think it's very important. I want to pray about this. I want to do the right thing. And I think that's what David's saying here. So look at it again, verse 1 and 2. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Now here's a whole nother level. He said, not only should you not fret, but don't you be envious of them. This reminds me of Psalm 73, right? You know, where the psalmist there says, you know, I began to look at those people and I began to wonder, you know, how come they seem to have it all good and I'm suffering? Why do they seem to have it this way and we're going through this? Why do those without God seem to be doing this and thus and prospering, and yet here we are, God's people, God's church, and we're suffering this way? Why doesn't God step up and do something? And David said, no, wait a minute, don't think that way. Don't think that way. This is the negative. He's telling us what not to do. He's going to tell us what to do in just a moment. But he starts out with what not to do. He said, don't fret thyself. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't let them provoke you to a rash and a harsh and an emotional reaction. Now, I think we've all done it. All right? I think we've all been guilty to where someone has said something and it triggered us. All right? It triggered us. And someone said something or done something, and we just felt like, well, you know what? I'm going to tell them how I feel about it. Well, sometimes that's not the thing to do. And I believe in speaking up. But we have to make sure that's what God wants. To pray about these things. Sometimes the enemy will try to bring out the worst in us by triggering, by pressing buttons, and so we have to be careful, all right? You know what the Bible says? One of the evidences of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, it's a fruit of the Spirit, temperance. Temperance, spirit control, moving when God says move, and not allowing emotion to dictate to you or I when we're to move or what we're to say, all right? So he said, don't do that. And he said, neither, in verse number 1, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. In other words, don't look out there and want what they've got. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, we'll allow our children to do this if we don't do it ourselves. Boy, I wished I had that big old house they've got. Well, those people, many of them don't honor God. I'm talking about a lot of professional athletes. A lot of the people who play in the music industry or in the movie industry. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having things, but if I have to do what some of them had to do to get it, I don't want it. And so the Bible says right here, he said, don't you be envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't be envious of them. Then look at verse number 2. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. What is David saying? David's saying, hey, brethren, look at their end. They're talking all that talk, and they're doing all that stuff now. This is the only heaven that they will ever know if they don't respond to God's grace. We just have to, again, I go back to Psalm 73. We have to remember now, if this earth is the only heaven that some people will ever enjoy, I feel for them. I'm not envious of them. I pity them. Don't you? I've read what awaits me on the other side. Amen. Oh, Dr. Oliver B. Green said many years ago, for the lost person, it's all this and hell too. But for the saved, it's all this and heaven too. Amen. This is the worst it's ever gotten. It's ever going to get for us, brethren. And I got to tell you, I've got it pretty good. How about you? And yet, this is the worst we're ever going to see it. We're going to heaven. Now, you flip that around to these people that a lot of people are envious of, and they're wanting what they have, and they're coveting this, and they're wanting these things, and these positions of pomp and position and popularity. This is the best they ever have it. It's the best they'll ever have it. David said it's going to burn up like grass. It's going to go away one day. Look at verse number 2. So don't fret now. Don't get all envious and want to go out and take violent action. So what do we do then, preacher? What are we to do? Well, David said, well, don't fret, but here's what you're to do. The first thing you're to do is trust. Here's the positive. Trust in the Lord. You believe God's in control? Then act like it. That's what David's saying. Trust in the Lord. God's going to do what's right. Right? You believe that, brethren? God's going to do what's right. That's all God knows how to do, is right. God doesn't know how to do wrong. He is absolute light. In Him is no darkness at all. Trust in the Lord and do good. Stay focused. Don't quit. Don't quit. Keep doing good. Well, preacher, it seems like everybody around me is just gone to sin, gone to pot. What am I to do? Good. Just do right. I like what old Dr. Bob used to say, do right though the stars fall. Amen. Well, you know, it seems like even Christians now have turned and it's getting hard to find Christians that want to do what's right. Well, first of all, I don't believe that. I believe there's a good group of God's people around this world that still want to do the right thing. Amen. And I thank God that we've invested in many of their ministries through our missionary endeavor. But there's many that we've yet to invest or even hear of that are doing good. They're doing right. And so just keep doing right. Just keep doing good. Don't let what's going on around you discourage you to the point where you say, well, you know what? There's no use. I may as well just give up. No, you don't give up. You trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Look what he said. So shalt thou dwell in the land. Now I'm going to take that little phrase there and I want to show you something that God wants you and I to do. All right? See, there's a benefit. There's a benefit. God's people have benefits. I think sometimes we forget this. We think, well, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen and I don't have anything to do with it. There's nothing further from the truth than that. I think folks say, well, you know, it doesn't matter how I pray. That's why a lot of folks quit praying. I want you to listen to me now. Don't quit praying. Your prayer makes a difference. The devil wants to make you think your praying doesn't make a difference. Our praying makes a difference. Amen. So I believe God's going to do whatever He's going to do, no matter how I pray. Well, you, when you get to heaven, you be sure now to tell some folks that change God's mind. You say, God didn't change His mind. Oh, He didn't? He didn't? He said He was going to destroy Nineveh, did He? Did He? Said He was going to. But you know what those folks did? They repented in sackcloth and ashes. They called out for God's mercy, and God didn't destroy them. Why? Because we can make a difference. We can make a difference. There have been times when God was going to do something and people got a hold of God and God repented. He turned. He said, I'm not going to do it. And I don't mean repent like as in sin. I mean that God turned and said, you know what? You have altered what I was going to do. God said, I'm going down, Moses, and I'm going to destroy the children of Israel. And Moses got on his face and said, oh God, don't do that. What will they say back in Egypt if you destroy them? That you brought us out here to destroy us. God, if you could just blot my name out of the book. You know what God did? God said, I'm not going to blot your name out of the book. But it turned to God, and God did not destroy the children of Israel. Why? Because prayer makes a difference. So listen to me now. Don't you let the devil tell you that, well, your prayer doesn't matter. God's going to do what God's going to do, and there's nothing that you can do about it by praying. That is a lie out of hell. That's why a lot of people have quit praying, because they say, well, God's going to do what God's going to do, whether I pray or not, preacher. No, that's not what this Bible teaches. God said, listen, call unto me. Hear me now. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God wants you to pray. God wants me to pray. God wants us to get to praying. Why? Because God hears and answers the prayers of His people. Prayer can change some things, change some people too. And so here David said, don't fret. Don't act on emotion. Don't let your emotion get the best of you. Then he said, trust in the Lord and do good. And then he said this, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. He said, God's going to take care of you. Well, I don't know, preacher. These are bad times we live in. God's going to take care of you. See, David's he's saying right here in part what he said in full over in verse number 20, 5. See, David's a mature believer here. He said, I've been around a while. God's going to take care of you. Look, if you would, what he said in verse number 3. He said, thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. He said, God's going to take care of you. They've chased me around. I've dwelt in caves. I've had javelins thrown at me. I've had revolts in my kingdom. But God has took care of me every step of the way. Not only did he say it there in verse number 3, look also if you would on down, let's see where it's at, where he said God's going to take care of you. Look in verse number, I think it's verse number 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. God's going to take care of you. Look in verse number 11. Verse number 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth, and so shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Look at verse 22. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. What's David saying? David's saying, God's going to take care of you. God's got something waiting on you. All this and eternity too. Did you know the Jews are going to inherit this earth one day? They are. Listen to me now. God's going to set up his kingdom right here on this earth. By the way, look if you would in verse number 29. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Look at verse number 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. What's God telling these people? The people were getting ready to cut out. Listen to me now. They were getting ready to run. This is not the first time this happened. They were getting ready to run because the kingdom was shaky. And David said, hey, hang in there. Don't you run out on God. Don't you run out on what God wants to do. Remember Elimelech and Naomi? Those names sound familiar to you? They ran out, didn't they? They did. Because of the famine in the land. And they missed something too. They lost something too. What's David saying as we go back into verse number 3? He's saying, listen, you trust the Lord. Don't you run out on God. Don't you quit on God. You keep doing good. You keep doing right. God's going to bless you. Preacher, in the spite of all this, I mean, we've just come through this awful pandemic of COVID-19, and now our world is coming unglued. Our cities are being burnt. There's protesters. There's all manner of evil going on. You mean God's going to take care of me in the midst of all this? That's exactly what I mean. Because that's exactly what God means. God's going to take care of you. Now, he is. God takes care of his own. David said, listen, I've been around a little bit. I've been young, and I'm old. God's met every need I have. How about you? How about you? God taking care of you? God's not going to let you down. Don't you let the devil lie to you and tell you that God's give up on you and God doesn't love you anymore and God doesn't care about your situation. That's a lie from the devil, and he's the father of liars. All right? Look in verse number 4. Delight thyself. Now here's the second positive. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Can you do that? Let me tell you what this does not say. Delight thyself in what God does for you. That's not what it does say. However, I do want to say I delight myself in all that God has done for me. Amen. God has been so good to me. But he's saying delight thyself in the Lord, in his person. Can you delight in God's person? When you think of the Lord, when you get along with the Lord, do you delight in his person, in his presence? Do you? Do you enjoy God's presence? Do you even know what it is to be in God's presence? Oh, I pray that you do. If you don't, you don't know what you're missing out on. The presence of God. David said, delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight in his presence. Get along with him. You know, back in verse number 1, those evildoers and the workers of iniquity, all the evil that's going on around you, it's just good to pull away from all that and get along with the Lord and let God minister to you, isn't it? It's really good. I need it. I need it. I know you do too. I hope you get it. All right? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now that's not, I don't think he's talking about material things. I don't. I think he's talking about things that are intangible that you can't touch. I'd rather have peace and property. Amen? You can give me all the property you want, but if I didn't have any peace, I couldn't enjoy it. And I'll take peace and property. Amen? Amen. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying I don't want to get caught up in the tangibles that I forget the intangibles. I don't want to get caught up in the things that God does that I forget who God is. And so this is what David is saying. So he said, don't fret. He said, trust. Delight. Are you happy? Are you delighting in the Lord? David said, this is what you ought to be doing. This is what you ought to be doing. Hey, something's not right if you're not. Delight in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Look at verse number 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit. Now, this is the heart. This is hard. Okay, trust is hard. But we should do it. Delighting in the Lord. It's a challenge, but we should do it. But now this is getting tougher. God said, I want you to turn everything over to me. Have you done that? Have you committed, look what he said, have you committed your way unto the Lord? Have you turned it all over to him? The New Testament is in Romans 12. Present your body a living sacrifice. Lay it on an altar and say, God, here I am. Commit thy way. Well, they're talking about me. God said, you let me take care of them. Well, they're coming against me. You let me take care of them. I challenge you to go home and look this word commit up. It means roll the burden. Roll the burden over on the Lord. Roll it on him. Let God be your burden bearer. Listen, if you're going to bear your burden, God will give it to you to bear. But if you'll give it to God to bear and let him bear it, God will bear our burdens for us. Right? How many of you ever given a burden to God and took it back? Raise your hand. How many of you are lying by not raising your hand? Okay. He said, commit. This is a difficult thing. That's a strong word there, commit. Commitment. I had a deacon back at the church I pastored in South Carolina, and me and him would refer to this word as the C word. It was kind of the taboo word, commitment. Boy, whoo, you start talking about commitment around a bunch of Christians, and boys, they get nervous. Commit. Have you committed your way unto the Lord? This is where it's at. Young folks, listen to me. We've got some young folks in here that are getting ready to make some important decisions in your life. Commit your way unto the Lord. Look what he said in verse number 5. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall. But now you're going to have to commit it to him. Right? Particularly, what is David talking about here? Well, you have to know where he's writing the psalm from. He's in dire straits. Preacher, everybody's talking and things are coming against me. The pressures of this world are mounting against me. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. God will give you a peace that passeth all understanding. A peace. Well, let's finish up. How are you doing? Are you fretting? You letting things get next to you? You ever had a conversation with someone and walked away, and later that night laid in bed and your mind began to work and you think, you know, I should have said this. I should have said that. I should have done this. Boy, I should have come back with that. That's fretting. Just thought I'd give you an illustration of what fretting is. That's fretting. That's not committing. That's fretting. But we've all done it. David said, don't do it. There's no advantage in that. There's no help in that. You're only hurting yourself. You're doing damage to your spiritual life, to your inner peace. All right? Then he said, trust, verse 3. He said, delight, verse 4. He said, commit in thy way, in verse number 5. Look at verse number 6. He said, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as in the light, and thy judgment as in the noonday. He said, God will do it. Now, God will do it, but now you've got to commit it to Him. You've got to roll it over on Him. Now, everybody in here has burdens in their life. Every one of us. We have got to learn what it is to roll our burden over on the Lord and leave it with God. Sometimes it could be a child, a wayward child. It may not even be a wayward child. It may be a physical condition of a child, and it's completely out of your hands. It may be a physical condition that you have. It may be a financial situation. I don't know what it is, but God knows what it is. You commit your way unto the Lord, and God has promised. God has promised. If you will commit your way unto the Lord, now this, He said, you've got to trust. Once you commit, you've got to trust. And God will bring it to pass. Now, either we believe that or we don't, brother. I do. How about you? I believe it. Let's finish up in verse number 7. All right? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Now, that's easy. Thought I'd get a little sarcasm in there before I closed out tonight. Boy, that's difficult. We are such people of action that we just feel like, I've got to do something. I've got to help God out. Did you know there's a time that God wants you just to be still and be silent? Yeah. We really don't do good with either one of those, being still or being silent. You know? You know, I think we could probably take about 10 minutes, and I could sit in that chair right there for 10 minutes and nobody move or say anything. I think we'd get really nervous. We'd start getting antsy. That's God's reign of approval. I think you know what I'm talking about, brethren. We don't like silence and we don't like stillness. But there's times when God says, that's what's needed. All right? So let's close with this. Verse number 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Here it is again. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. God said, listen, let me, once you commit it to me, rest in the fact that I'm going to take care of it. Rest in that. Don't try to get back involved in it. Right? Don't try to get back involved and help me. I don't need your help. If I need your help, I'll let you know. Right? Just stand on the sideline and watch me work. Did you know there's times that God wants us to do that? Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Let me show you what I can do. That's what God's saying. Stand still and see what I can do. Some folks don't know what God can do because we've never been still enough, long enough to let Him do it. God help me. God help you to learn what it is to just rest in the Lord. Give it over to God and say, God, it's yours. I'm trusting it into your hands. And I'm going to wait patiently while you take care of this situation. And God, I'm going to trust you. I've committed it to you. I'm going to trust you. Here's some good admonition, brethren. It's good. You say, preacher, that's simple. It's so simple that a lot of folks are not doing it. Right? It's so simple that we're not doing it. If you're doing it, continue to do it. If you're not, begin to do it. Let's follow this simple instruction of a man who said, hey, I'm mature now. I was young and I hadn't experienced many things, but I've been walking with the Lord long enough to know I was young. Now I'm old. I've got some experience behind me. God has shown me some things, and I want to give you some advice and some counsel based on what God has taught me. And that's what Psalm 37 is about. All right, we'll continue in this psalm. Let's stand to our feet. I've gone through this psalm, and I've highlighted this phrase, in the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord. It's over and over again. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Right? Commit thy ways unto Him. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently on Him. It's all about Him. It's learning how to lean and to trust on our Savior. Let's bow our heads together.